Blog Talk Radio.
Money is spent, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do. Jesus can work it out if you let him. Diane Williams.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We want to thank you for joining us this evening for D&K Bible Break. Here is live on Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk, George Tooley, Derek Oliver. We just want to say thank you and welcome for joining us. Those that are joining us by the internet, we want to say thank you. For those that are joining us by phone, we just want to say thank you as well. giving honor to the Lord and my Lord and Savior. Again, we just want to thank him for waking us up, putting us in our right frame of mind, giving us extra means or a limb, and just for being an awesome God in our life. Also want to thank the Lord for my lovely wife, Miss Kay, that's on the line with us. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
And to all of my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Finish Line, Outback, Brentwood Publishing, and Pizza Hut. I just want to say thank y'all for supporting us as well. And as we get ready to get started, first and foremost, again, it's going to be another, I like to use the word, good, wholesome conversation. And I don't look to get no right or wrong answers. It's just something to conversate and have the Lord lead you to go with it. That's the way he wants you to go with it. But I'm just going to say that up front. Last week we had a good conversation, and I've been getting a lot of feedback on, and this is not what we're going to talk about today, but I want to clear something up just on my behalf and my belief and what I think, and then we're going to move on. Because somehow we got talking about once saved, always saved. And I don't know how that got thrown up in there, but it got thrown up in there. And I'm an opponent. And I just want to check with my pastor that we don't believe once saved, always saved. I never believed it. I never preached it. And until the Lord shows me otherwise, I don't care how many scriptures you can show me or tell me, I'm going, once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. I'm not saying that to get in a conversation for you to keep sending me emails or all that. I'm just saying that's just not my belief, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I do have a scripture. Actually, I got two. Well, I'm going to give you a scripture, and I'm going to tell you a scripture. The scriptures I say is the Lord says he'll rather have you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. That's just one. The other scripture I'm going to is Hebrews, the sixth chapter of Hebrews, verses 4 and 6. And I'm going to read that, and that's Hebrews 6, 4 and 6. And then we're going to get started with the D&K, but I just wanted to address this. The first thing when I came on for people that was listening last week, and we got into that debate. And do you have that wife, Hebrews 6, 4 and 6?
If not, yes, I have it here.
Good.
I have
you
it.
Better read it. Okay.
I have it, but I'm going to make a statement before I read it. So you say, can't nobody tell you otherwise, regardless of the scriptures that they show you. And I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, for me personally, please show me the scriptures so I can and study them and you know, and see. So I'm open to the scriptures if, so I can, you know, make sure I'm saying stuff the right way.
And it's going to be people, and it's people like you, before you read that, after we do this, when we go into the subject of what we're talking about, it's people like you what I'm talking about. But go ahead.
Whatever, whatever. Just because I want to get the knowledge. You can't be a hater on that. Okay.
No, I'm not being a hater. Go ahead.
All right. So we're coming from Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, right?
Right.
Okay. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame.
Okay, that's my scripture. You know, once saved, always saved. You have to repent, and no matter what you do, you have to repent from your sins. Even me, I have to repent for things I don't even know about. But there's people who live their life, they get saved, and then they turn their back on God. I believe the scripture reject God in the way that He wants you to live, in all of this, and when you die, you think you're going to heaven. You can't turn your back on God and think because you accepted him 22 years ago that you're going to be okay, and you're living and you're rejecting everything that he projected you to live by. So, you know, that's just me. There's other scriptures I could use, but I don't want to go into it because I don't want to bring confusion to my show about this, that, and the other. That's if you want to believe and you want to take that chance with your salvation and believe you can live any kind of way and make it to heaven, okay, then you can do that. Me personally, I won't preach it and I won't teach it because you have to repent for your sins. And even the best of us who've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's some things I may have done today that may not, I have to ask God to forgive me because I want to make sure I make it in. And I'm definitely not going to live any kind of way and think I'm going to make it in, or I'm going to preach that to people and think they're going to make it in. And you got a lot of people doing that today. But we're not going to be long with you today. I just wanted to address that issue for today. Today I'm going to be, we're going to be talking about.
Tomorrow on Thursday night, if after our service is over, our bishop finishes at 8 p.m. With my prayer group, we're going to be talking about that particular subject, once saved, always saved. And it's an open dialogue with a group of women. And it's not a place where nobody can participate. So I was looking for the phone number. I don't have it in front of me, but before we end tonight, I'll provide the phone number. If anybody wants to call in and listen to our topic on Thursday night, or if you want to comment, you can always comment as well if you just have some free time at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and I'll provide the phone number before our show is over tonight. Oh, matter of fact, I have it right now. If I can get, can I get his phone number out? Do you mind?
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
And they're gonna be we're gonna have to charge.
Oh, anyway, this is everything is free in the Lord. So the phone number is 727-731-0967. Again, that's 727-731-0967. It's just a group of us ladies. We're going to be talking about once saved, always saved, and we're going to go into that in more detail. And again, that's this Thursday at 8 p.m. If you want to just tune in, make sure you put your phone on mute if you're not going to say anything. If you want to say anything, you're welcome to speak. It is an open forum. And that's it. Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead, husband.
Well, you're fine. You're fine. I was just playing with the charging thing as well. I don't want people to get serious, think that we really charge people. But no, you know, yeah. sensitive people out there as well. But no, if you want to listen, if you want to, you know, listen to that, then I suggest that you go in and listen to it. Me personally, again, I've been saved almost 40 years, and I've never believed once saved, always saved. And going right now, I've seen scriptures and debated it with people. I will not even debate even anymore because it's, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. And it is what it is. So I'm just going to leave that right there. And but tonight we got a good thing we're going to talk about. We're going to be out here real quick. And again, wife, my tablet is acting up, so I lost my scriptures. I think it's 2 Samuel 6. Is that what I gave
Samuel.
You?
You gave me 2 Samuel, yes. 11.
11. 2 Samuel 11, verses 2.
You want me to read that?
Before you read it, I'm just going to go into details about what we're talking about tonight because it's very easy. And I'm going to be the guinea pig because I got caught up in this here. Now, I'm going to read part of a scripture. I just want you to get part of the eyes and how we as Christians, or myself, I'm not going to put this on everyone, but we as believers caught up thinking that we're right when we're really wrong, doing wrong when we think it's right is easy to do. So when I say superstar saints, is because by me being an elder and being in the church, and even being over chaos, there's perks to my position in chaos. There's certain things that I can get for free. There's certain things that people will bless me with. And for so many years and so many occasions, people will bless you. And sometimes you look at the blessing that they're giving you as is it for you and not for the Lord. And then you start doing what you want to do with the blessing, and not doing it with what the Lord wants you to do because of the, or of the praise of the people, or regardless what it is, the Lord has blessed you, and you take the blessing and you take it to where you want it to go. And I just want to use, there's a few people in the Bible that has done this, and the first person I think we all think of is David. And David in the Bible says that he was the apple of God's eye. God really loved David. But here's the thing in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and my wife's going to read the 11th verse. Go ahead and read that.
I'm going to read the second verse.
Yeah, the second verse.
It says
11 and 2.
Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath.
Okay.
You want me to stop
That's
there?
All I want. I just stop right there. Because I want you to see what happens to us is what happened to David. He saw something beautiful, and then his eyes made a contract with his brain, and he started thinking because he was the king, he could do whatever he wanted to do. And a lot of times we as believers, we see something that looks good, and because of we or who we are, and I'm just saying that, from my perspective of this, we think we can have what we want because of who we are and who we serve. And we try to make a wrong reason right, and we justify it in our head. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time when Eve looked at the apple. She saw the apple. When she saw it, her eyes made a contract with her brain to tell her to eat it because it looked good. And whatever the reason she ate it, she justified eating the apple when she was told not to. David knew not to mess with that woman. But because his eyes saw it and it was beautiful for him, he decided to carry out his own agenda. Because he was, and you got to remember, David was that was God's boy. He was the stuff. So therefore, a lot of times, and not saying that we got to get a puffed up spirit, but some of us do get puffed up spirits, but some of us can easily fall into the trap of seeing something that's good and wanting it and then saying to ourselves, I can have it. And for an example, again, today, I was talking with my wife, and she had to correct me. And when she corrected me, it kind of hit hard. I told her I'm not going to wait for her to go get a Sam's Club. I'm just going to go ahead and get it myself. I'm not going to wait on her because I needed to go to Sam's Club. And she said, won't you just wait and be patient? Now, as a preacher, it hit me in a way because I preach patience all the time. But here I'm saying to myself, I got the $40. I'm going to go down there and just get the Sam's Club, renew it. Hurry up, let's get it done. Why wait on you? And she said, just be patient. And I got to thinking about that. Here I am again, a preacher, rushing because I got $40 in my pocket to go get a Sam's instead of waiting on my wife to go with me. That right there, and not saying, and I justified it because I tried to argue with her, if I delight myself in the Lord, he'd give me the desires of my heart. I can go get it right now because I got it right now to go get it. But also patient, because sometimes God don't want you to go get something. He wants you to be patient and allow him to lead and guide you. And here I was again, leading and guiding myself using the scriptures to tell me that I'm right in going to get it. Does that make sense?
Even though I have a cart that I've had for the last 10, 15 years that I just got to renew, and you couldn't wait for me to get off of work to go renew it. So you just was trying to hurry up, and it was unnecessary, and it would have been a waste of money.
My point is, all of that what you're saying is true, but the point I'm trying to make is the quickness that I justify going to get it using the scriptures, and even though I should have been patient, I didn't listen. I didn't want to listen. And a lot of times, and I'm just using this small case, because a lot of times we as believers, we get caught up in getting what we want when we want it, and we justify it in the scriptures, even though God is telling us to wait, hold up, let him lead and guide us. This is me doing what Derek wants to do. And the same thing that David, he saw something beautiful, he wanted it. And he orchestrated a way to get it because he was the king. He was the man. He was the one. So could no one tell him anything differently? And what I'm saying is to the believers that are listening, it's just a conversation. We have to be careful with what we do and how we do it. And we have to make sure it's the Lord telling us to do it, being patient, being reasonable, and also being in tune to his spirit for him to lead and guide us. And just as quick as I was going to go out and not wait an hour for my wife to get off work to go do it, I could have caused a whole lot of damage, A, because I didn't hear what my wife was saying. That's the first thing. I wasn't listening. And when you don't listen to someone that's trying to help you get somewhere, it can be very hurtful. So sometimes people try to tell you something, and the Lord is trying to tell you something, but we want to be hurtful and not listen. Then we want to take it to the scriptures and be like, okay, I'm going to justify what I'm doing because this is what I wanted right then and there. Didn't want to wait. And sometimes the Lord will move in our life and orchestrate a situation that he's telling you to wait, but you don't want to wait because you can see it, you can smell it, and you can touch it, and you'll still go ahead and get it because that's what you want. And then you say, well, I pray every day. I talk to the Lord every day. And the desire, and if I do what I want, if I do his work, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And we take that out of concept so often. Not that I couldn't get it. The fact of the matter for me to wait. And I'm just using this Sam's Club card as an example, a small example, but it could have been something bigger that I could have wanted. And I use this as an example because my dream car is a Cadillac. And one day I'm going to get a Cadillac. But if I put it out there like I'm putting it out there now a lot of dealerships are going to be calling me saying, Derek, come get this Cadillac. I can't afford a Cadillac payment. But they're going to do everything in their power to make me qualify to get a Cadillac. I don't need it, don't really, but I want one. But they're going to make it fit that I can get one, and then I get in debt, and I can't keep it, and I'm thinking the Lord is blessing me. No, I bless myself and won't be able to keep it because I'm not going to be patient and let the Lord bless me with it where I'm able to keep it and when I'm able to afford it. And I'm just using that as an example as well because I've been wanting the Cadillac for a long time. I just don't want the Cadillac payment. But, yeah, they'll tell me you can get it here and you ain't got to make a payment for 3 whole months now. But on that 4 month, you got to pay $700-$800 note month. I'm not ready to do that, and I don't own my own house yet. It's just not reasonable. It just makes no sense. So what I'm saying that is we have to be careful when we're in the church, because people sometimes get a puffed up spirit because they're in the house of the Lord and they think the Lord is blessing them, and it's really not the Lord. It's the people that's blessing you. It's not the Lord. And you're only going thinking it's a blessing because what people are saying and not what the Lord is saying. And I have that happen to me quite often. Oh, you did a great job, Elder Oliver. You did this. You're doing this. You're doing, and I'm listening to the praises of the people, but on the other ear, the Lord is telling me something totally different. And that's what I mean by being a superstar saint. We think we can do what we want to do. We can move how we want to move, and we're not going to keep our eyes on the Lord. Like David saw that beautiful woman, and when he saw her, his mind started. It wasn't the devil. The devil didn't put that in his mind. The devil put it in his eyesight, and his eyesight made his brain do what he wanted to do, because that's what he wanted to do. When Peter was walking on the water, as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was good. But as soon as you take your eyes off, that's when stuff starts to happen. And it's not always good when you take your eyes off of the Lord, when you take your mind off of the Lord. And like my wife was saying, she wants to hear the scriptures about once saved, always. You see, that ain't nothing but a trick of the, this is my opinion, of the devil to think that you can go out there and have a license to sin and do what you want to do. And when that day comes, you're going to open your eyes up and you ain't going, you're going to open up internally, but you're going to be in hell because you messed up listening to other people. And a lot of times people take these scriptures to make them fit what they want to, so they can do what they want to do. I've done
well,
it.
That's
I've done it to that.
That's why you just can't take what people give you. Okay, you can give me the scriptures, but it's my job to search this. It's my job to do the work. So
how
it's
many
not
people
about
are
taking
okay,
what people.
That's you. You will do that. How many people, and I'm not saying you, as I'm singling you out, because I know what you're going to do, but how many people really search the scriptures? So what I'm saying is when people hear stuff, and as me being an elder, I cannot allow people to go say stuff that's ignorant, because I know a lot of people, and I'm not talking about people who are seasoned and people who study the Word of God. You, if you're doing that, then that's what you do. You do search the scriptures for yourself. But I'm saying there's people who don't search the scriptures. They'll hear something and they'll live with it. And you and I both know people who've been in church for a long time. They're religious. It ain't about what the word says. They'll hear it and that's what they believe. If the pastor say don't wear no makeup, they're not gonna wear no makeup. It's just boom. And whatever scripture they got, that's what it is. Boom. That's exactly what they're not searching. And you deal with a lot of people that's been hurt because they just go by what other people say. And because it's in the Bible, that's what they believe. So when I say I don't want no more scripture, I've heard this, I've seen it. I'm not going to be held accountable to tell somebody once they get salvation and they get saved that you can go out and for the next 10 years, live any kind of way you want, and don't try to live holy, don't repent, and then say you're going to go to heaven. That's what you're saying when you're saying once saved, always saved. That's what you're saying. Not that I'm going there, but I'm just saying.
I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe
what you're saying.
When somebody says that, I don't think they're saying that people don't have to repent and people don't have to live right. I don't think that's what they're saying.
What is it saying? Once saved, always saved. What is it? Because when you're saved, you die daily.
I'm not going to go into that topic. I'm not going
into that topic. I wasn't going there, but you're sitting right there on it, so I'm going to deal with it.
No,
if they're not saying that, what are they saying?
Can I do another scripture based off of what the topic is tonight, mister? I'm not going into that one. Based off of what you were speaking about in regards to David and him seeing Bathsheba, James 1:14-5, it says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So not only dying naturally, but dying spiritually, it brings forth spiritual death. So our eyes can get us in a lot of trouble, especially if our eyes, you know. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that's perfectly right. If you have a weakness for something, his weakness was for women, and that's where it took him. And like I used for an example is a Cadillac. If a Cadillac dealership called me right now, you know good and well I would listen to everything, and I would do everything I can to try to get something that I know right now is not for me, because my desire, that's my desire. And if we're not careful as believers, we would let our desires end up like it did with David, because we keep our eyes on something that's beautiful, something that we may want. And a lot of times in church, and I'm speaking on myself, is when you get people saying good things about you, sometimes it builds up your spirit to the point where you can do no wrong, and you will justify your wrong with scripture.
That's building up your flesh is what that's doing.
Well, pretty much, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very easy to do if you're not in tune in the spirit and you're not studying the word of God for yourself. And there's a lot of people, and I'm speaking for the people who don't have a voice. I'm speaking for the people who don't study. I'm speaking for the people who be deceived by saying certain things. I heard a gentleman tell me the other day, their preachers don't preach about, has not preached about sin. Just accept the Lord and he'll work it out with you within your time. Okay, well, you got to live holy. And God doesn't like sin. And the fact of the matter that we're telling people to go sin, giving them a license to sin, that's not being, that's not what he saved or called me to do. If I'm going to give them salvation, I'm going to give them salvation and therefore have the Lord clean them up. But I'm not going to tell them that, and salvation is free, but you have to want it. You have to desire to read the scripture. You have to desire to build that relationship. There's no church, no pastor, no elder, no evangelist that can help or tell you how to have a relationship, because a relationship is a personal relationship. If I read my Bible when I get up in the morning and at lunch and at dinner, that works for Derek. It may not work for you. You may want to read your Bible at the odd time of the day. If that was work for you, then that's what works for you, because it's a personal relationship. But you got to have that commitment. You got to have that desire to have a relationship with the Lord. You can't have a relationship with the Lord and start, don't feel convicted by the stuff that you're doing that's not holy. And people make mistakes every day. If I don't go to church on a certain day, I feel convicted. That ain't got nothing to do with nobody. That's just between me and the Lord. You may come in church and you may be fine with it. Well, that's between you and the Lord. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Like, you have nothing to do with me. But there should be some type of conviction in your lifestyle. Even with me today, there's some conviction when I do wrong or I don't want to do something, I get convicted. That's the Lord telling me that I'm wrong. There's certain people that's walking this earth that has no conviction, and they can live any kind of way. They drink, smoke, cuss, fornicate, adult, do all of that, and they say that they're living for the Lord. Because one saved, and I keep, sorry to keep going back on this, always say, no, it's not. I'm not going to allow people to say that, and it bothers me, because people who don't study listen to it, and when they listen to it, because they don't know no better, it's on them. Now, if they do that on their own, that's fine, but me and the way I'm ministering, we're not going to say that. And what I'm going to say is we need to be more accountable to the Lord in our everyday life, and we have to repent for the things that, at least me, I'm speaking for Derek now, because sometimes I don't listen to what the Lord is telling me, and I justify my wrong using the scripture. That's a very dangerous place to be in because, again, now my will is being done and I'm justifying it in the word that what Derek wants, Derek is going to get, and I can justify it in the Bible. That's wrong. It's wrong. And just like you told me today, be patient. And I told you, I said, that was a very good comeback. I told him, that was good because I needed to hear that. I needed to hear it. Chill out. What you rushing for? Calm down. Don't be in a hurry. But this is for me. And I was thinking about the show, and I'm thinking about what we did last week, thinking about what we were going to do this week, and how I said we're going to do showstoppers, how people only want to come to church so they can get praise, come to church so they can be uplifted, come to church when it's all about them, but when it's about somebody else, they ain't nowhere to be found. That's having a puffed up spirit. And it happens daily, not just in all churches. In all churches. And I'm not saying everyone is like this. Some people, when they come to church, they come to church because they want to serve the Lord. It don't matter who preaching, who's singing, they just want to serve the Lord, and they're going to get the Lord his time in spite of who's ever up front. But then you got some people who want to be up front and only want to be in church when they're up front. To me, in Derek's opinion, that's having a puffed up spirit.
Can I add to that scripture that we're talking about tonight? Here it is, David. He's the king. And I would think that the king would be busy. He had things to do. I believe there was a war going on. I mean, I understand it was their tradition to take midday naps or afternoon naps or whatever, and he was rising from his nap. But when you have too much idle time on your hands, that's when you get in trouble as well. So he should have got up. I understand he's taking a break, going cruising on the roof and all of that, but he let his eyes get him in trouble. And it just seems like he should have been doing what he is supposed to do. Like many of us, a lot of the times we allow things to distract us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that gets us in trouble. You know, well, you wouldn't have been in that position. You wouldn't have tripped up. You wouldn't have sinned if you wouldn't have put yourself in that position. So if we be about the business that we're supposed to be being about, I would think that we would get ourselves in less trouble.
Okay. And of course, it wouldn't be, I know it's D&K, but it wouldn't be chaos if I didn't disagree with what you just said.
Oh, you disagreeing. Okay,
Well, yeah, because you're saying if he would have been doing something else. The thing about what I'm saying is this. Regardless of what he was doing, taking a nap, doing this or doing that, the fact of the matter is he got up and his eyesight saw something. Now, he could have been busy doing anything. He still would have saw something. It may not have been this, that, or the other. He would have saw something. So it's not about him doing the work because he's been doing it prior to this. He's been doing the work of the Lord. He's been busy doing the Lord's work.
This one thing that he did cost him a lot. In his life,
But you can't say he wasn't doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing.
He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. I can say what you're saying. See, this is different because what David did was wrong.
I'm not justifying anything that David did. I'm saying that he was wrong. I'm not taking up for him. But what I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying. Because people think because you're doing the work of the Lord, it's easy. They think because you're doing the work of the Lord, it's easy. You just stay busy. You can stay as busy as you want in doing God's work. At some point, being human, at some point, going by your everyday life, you're going to see something. And when you see it with your eyes, if it's beautiful, it may not be a woman. It could be a drink. It could be something that can distract you. And because if you have a desire, I have a desire to drink Pepsi. Everybody know that. And if I'm trying to quit and I'm riding down the street and I just happen to see a Pepsi truck and I look at it, I'm like, man, I sure can go for one. And there's a gas station. I'm about to go pump some gas. Now, my eyes saw it. Now, my brain is working because my eyes and my brain are like, man, I sure can go. Now, it ain't got nothing to do with me going to the prayer meeting in 10 minutes. I'm going to stop and get up and have a sip of it, even though I'm not supposed to. It's not the fact that I was doing what the Lord told me to do, and I got distracted. And like he got distracted from coming up from a nap. He was distracted. He saw it. His brain and his eyesight made a contract with each other to do what he carried out to do, and it was wrong for him to do that. And what I'm saying is, as being a believer in the Lord, we sometimes get distracted by the things, and the devil is not stupid. He can't put it in our brain, but he can put it in our eyesight so we can think about it. He never put that woman in his mind until he woke up and he saw it. Then he started thinking about it. I wouldn't have never thought about the Pepsi if I wouldn't have saw the Pepsi truck. I started to think about it. Now, all this other time, I'm thinking about, oh, I'm going to prayer. I'm about to do this. But no, I'm going to pull over to the gas station and buy me a Pepsi. It's only going to take me a few minutes. Ain't no one going to see me drink it. I'm going to be done with it. It ain't had nothing to do if I was busy because I was doing the Lord's work when I was doing it. What has to happen is we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to die daily this flesh. And when we die daily this flesh, instead of me pulling over to the gas station, I'm going to go ahead and go to the church and ask them to pray for me because I almost went and got some Pepsi. That's the truth matter, and that's the correct way that it's supposed to happen. And sometimes we can't fight these things on our own. We need help from our brothers and our sisters. And say, well, he should have been strong enough. Well, evidently he wasn't. And evidently he needed someone to tell him it's going to be okay. All I needed to do was to hurry up and get to where I was going to go, hurry up and get to the church so I can tell somebody about what I almost did, and it stay between us and don't go nowhere else, and then we can pray about it. That's how it's supposed to happen. But we know good and well that's not how it happened. And because you sit up there and you say he should have been doing this, he should have, and he was wrong. I'm not justifying anything that he did. But the fact that he did it, we all can relate at some point in our lives when we saw something and we just had to go after it.
No, it's kind of hard for me to just stay on that one scripture because we know the story. Not only did he sleep with her and do all of this, had her husband killed, it's kind of hard for me to just say to let him off easy.
He knew what he was doing. He don't get it. See, I don't want people thinking I'm justifying what he did because I'm not. I'm just trying to justify how easy it is to orchestrate something like that in your head just that quick. Just like I saw the Pepsi truck, just like I pulled in the gas station, just like I bought the Pepsi, and just like I drunk it. It all happened in my brain, and I orchestrated it myself.
That's
with no help from no.
When you're not walking in the spirit, that's how it works. Your flesh is going to override.
When you don't bring your
flesh under subjection, then of course you're going to do things that you. Right,
but
you
act
like but you're acting like it was okay for him to be up chilling, doing what he was doing.
Lord have mercy, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm not saying it was okay. It apparently is not okay. What I'm saying is it's easy for me to see how he ended up in that situation. Because when you think about it and you see, and I'm not talking about a woman, I'm just talking about whatever your weakness is. Some people may be a woman. Some people may be drink. So whatever your weakness, once you see it, it's very easy to manipulate a situation to go get it. David saw that woman. He wanted the woman. He slept with the woman. And once you get in, it's like quicksand. You get deeper and deeper and deeper. And because of the position, he was a king. He
he felt he had the power to do all of this. Same thing I said in my opening statement. I get a lot of perks. If I misuse it in thinking that I'm right, eventually I'm going to orchestrate a situation and my blessing is going to become a bombshell. It's going to blow up in my face because I misused what God blessed me to have. And when you start misusing what God blessed you to have, you're going to find yourself in quicksand, period. So therefore, going back to what I'm saying, when you go to church, if you're not going to church for the right reason, all these little things can cause you to be out of the will of God, period. And it's just that easy. Now, I'm not saying that David was right. We all know that he was wrong for what he did. We all know that was a blimp. We all know that. But it was very easy for him to fall into that temptation. It was very easy for when Peter was walking on the water to take his eyes and look at the wind and the rain. It was very easy to do that.
It goes back to Genesis. Like you said, that was the beginning right there. That
exactly.
Set the
and it begins with the eyesight.
The lust of the eye. Right.
Right. So, it's not something we look at it, and we look at it, and when I say we, me included, we look at certain things and we see what people go through, and it's easy for us to be like, oh, he shouldn't have did that. Oh, if he would have been doing that. And all what I'm saying is it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for myself. It's a wake-up. It should be a wake-up call for everyone to re-examine themselves and check themselves. And just as easy as I left out of this house today, and we wasn't, you know, me and my wife, we cool. We joke and play all the time. And I'm like, I'm just going to go get this thing now when it comes to certain things. Won't you just wait? And I'm like, wait for what? Why should I wait? When I want what I want to get it right now. That's just me and practically everything that I do. So I was blessed to have a blessed wife who can talk to me, who can calm me down and be like, just wait and be patient. And when she used the word patient, it shook a nerve in my spirit because I preach patience all the time. And here I am who preach patience. I can't even be patient to wait for an hour for my go to Sam's Club. Something's wrong with that. But thank the Lord I had a helpmate to guide me. But if she's not there to guide me, I go out and get this thing, wasting money, and it would have been useless if I would have went because, like she said, it would have cost us in the long run. By me being, and this is just me. Yeah.
I got a question. Okay. So this is my thought process when I read that scripture. A lot of the times, majority of the times, 99% of the times, if we're not in our assigned place, if we're not where we're supposed to be, you know, we can get ourselves in trouble. I tell my kids about this story that I saw on, I think, Dateline or 2020 all the time. The young lady was supposed to go to her boyfriend's house or something like that, and the father ended up seeing her walking, and he picked her up. He ended up killing her, his son's girlfriend. And it's like, go where you're supposed to go, be where you're supposed to be so you won't put yourself in danger. And when I look at this, this is just my personal opinion. I understand that King David took his nap. But as a king, I expect him to also be about his business. Most of the time, don't they have people all around them? Like I expected him to be more on his toes. That's just my personal opinion. But I understand the scripture. I didn't write it. This scripture was here before I was even thought of. So that little part just tells me if you are in your assigned place doing what you're supposed to be doing, and not letting things distract you, then you're good. So to me personally, I can't just look at this and say, oh, well, you know, it was just because he wanted. But if he was in his assigned place doing what he was called to do, to be the king, me personally, I just think that he wouldn't have put himself in that position and not letting his lustful eyes take control. But like everything else in life, our eyes get us in trouble. You know, back in the day, they say your eyes is bigger than the plate or whatever. You put up for holidays, you fill in your plate up for full of food, and your body can't handle it. But our eyes want, you know, it's a trick of the, it is a trick of the, yeah, there you go. I want to say, on one hand, it's a trick of the enemy because he know what to put in front of you and he know how to get you. On the other hand, it's also you giving in to your flesh and going after that. If I'm trying to do something, I know if I need to do it or not. I know right from wrong. And if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And ain't nobody going to stop me from doing it.
Well, we're going to really have to get out of here. And because I know this next statement I'm about to say, we may have to pick it up next week, but I'm about to make a lot of people upset, including my beautiful wife. And that is my gorgeous wife. I think because of the story of David and because he was with a woman, I just think that just upset you just a little bit more. But you didn't really comment too much about Eve eating that apple. People just glide right over that when she saw that apple and she ate the apple when she was told not to eat the apple. And
so
she kind of
wanted the apple. But she,
the point, she wanted it, but she was told not to eat the apple. But it looked good to her. It was a shiny red apple. And if she, and the thing about it is just like you said, being at your designated place at the designated time and all that, out of all the fruit and all the stuff that was around her that she could have ate out of, she went to the one place that she was told not to go. And it's
well,
not
guess
being
what?
Out of place.
That's
you know, no, hear me out. Hear me out. Let me. I let you.
Say. What we don't that we don't we want what's not readily available to us. We want that thing. If it's in your face, it's like okay, I can get that anytime. It's what you can do.
And another thing, because I see where you're going with this, and another thing, my engineer just gave me something. Why is it that we always get mad at David, don't get mad at that woman? She could have said no.
She could have
said
no, but
a number of things.
Okay, let me just say this. You're right.
She
could have
said
no.
A number of things.
But this is the king. This is the king.
Okay, and?
So, Barack. Yeah, come over here. I'm pretty sure.
So you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me? So you mean to tell me?
Like, here I go, Barack.
No, see, that's wrong. Because Barack is a married man, number one. He's a married man, number one.
He was married.
And number two. Okay, so my point is, well, they both were wrong. But all you hear about is David. All you hear about is David. You don't hear nothing about that woman and why she, in her trifling self, went and slept with him with the king. You don't hear about that. All you hear about David was wrong. David sinned. David did
well,
this.
David had
did
the power.
What
like
she
you
did.
Said, the power. He had the power. So he had the power. So I'm pretty sure, you know, back then they had many women. They had all these concubines and all this stuff. So she probably just following suit. That's the king. Or maybe she wanted to get with the king. I don't know. Maybe
okay.
That's what she wanted
so,
to do.
So would you not say, well, okay, well, I'm just saying, and I got to get out of here because I'm not trying to make no women mad, and I don't want women, you know, throwing their shoes at me for making comments because I've always wondered it. I will never preach it because I would never make it out of the church alive. But what's up with the woman? Eve, we give her a pass. We're giving this woman a pass. I understand what David did was wrong, and what David did was wrong. Every man in the world know what David did was wrong. Now, if the woman would have said no, history would have been rewritten. And it's always a woman that wants to bring a good black man down. It's always a woman.
Tread lightly. Don't even go there.
It's the truth. Look at history. History has taught me back in the beginning of time, it was Eve.
So y'all's eyes get y'all in trouble. Them eyes get y'all in trouble.
It was, well, okay, but it was a woman. So women
y'all
have the power to say no.
That's what y'all looking
right.
at, the outward.
And y'all got
appearance.
All the power on the inside. And because y'all got the power on the inside, it's a reason.
Maybe she wanted to go with the king. I mean, I don't know. She may
right, that's my
she
point.
Wanted to do.
That's my point.
I mean,
right there.
Ring, so I don't know what her thought process was. Two wrongs will make it right. The whole situation is wrong, period. On both
but
hands.
You don't hear
on
no
her
one.
Part,
just like I said about the woman.
Well,
just like I said about
the
woman.
Don't give us all the information on Bathsheba. It gives us all the information we need on King David.
Okay.
The apple of God's eye. You know, women was like, it's a lot of stories in the Bible where the women, they
there were some trifling women in the Bible just as well as some men.
Okay. Well, we're not going into that. I'm going to just leave it alone.
Oh, why can't we? See, that's every time
because
someone wants
I
to bring up the women, the women that does wrong, that does wrong in the Bible, we don't ever want to talk about it. We don't ever want to talk about it. You know, Esther or
Hold on.
Not Esther.
Esther
what's her name?
Yeah.
I didn't mean Esther. I'm trying to think of her name. What's the woman's name? Jezebel. Is it Jezebel? And if you look at Jezebel, if you look at Jezebel's mama, Jezebel's mama was worse than Jezebel and what they tried to do. And I ain't got time to go into it, but now that I'm thinking about it, because I really wasn't prepared to bring up all these women that did a lot of bad things in the Bible because it's never really looked upon or anything like that. And when the women that did adultery and Jesus said, whoever be without sin cast the first stone, she ended up getting a walking pass on that. Even though what she did was wrong, Jesus, you know, he dealt with that,
she
but it was a woman that was going.
She
was doing wrong, and they was going to stone her for doing wrong.
Well, we don't go with
because she
the
didn't
Lord
do it by herself, but she was.
Who was without sin cast the first stone? That we're gonna leave it
right.
on. We're gonna leave it on.
Yeah, we're gonna leave it at that. Exactly. Exactly. So y'all stop beating up on David and stop beating up on some of these men that made mistakes because women.
He didn't have the woman's husband killed. He went a little bit further than adultery. Add murder.
Well,
in there.
I'm just saying. You know, you didn't want to go and dive into Eve and what she did. And because of Eve did, every woman should be mad because of Eve. Y'all got to deal with what y'all got a woman deal with because of what Eve did. She's the cause of that happening to y'all. I figured you'd get quiet on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to get quiet on that one because I'm mad at Eve about that. So.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But you don't, but the thing about it, you don't hear about that. You don't hear that preach. You don't hear that talk. You don't hear that. That was Eve. Adam was the man, and Adam, you know, should have been more of a man and, you know, not eat the apple too. But then again, Eve was beautiful to him. And this is what I'm saying in a nutshell. I know for a fact I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm not. And I know my wife's not going to hell for nobody either. But at the same time, if we're not careful, and I'm being truthful now, if we're not careful, we could let people who are close to us deceive us, and we're thinking that they're right when they're really wrong. And your eternal life is too important to play with, I think. It might be. The only way I know that I'm going to heaven is I know that I got to live a holy life. I have to believe what he did on Calvary's cross. I have to believe he's coming back again. And I have to believe that if I do something wrong, I have to repent and ask God to forgive me. Because if I don't, ask a question. If I don't, I'm not going to take that chance. I'm not going to take that chance, and I'm not going to preach that to anybody else. What I'm saying and what I'm saying about all the women out there and all this other type of stuff, men, be careful. Be careful. Be very careful.
Ladies, be careful. Yes, everybody be careful. Men and women, be careful.
Oh, I'm going to get to that if you let me. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. It do go both ways, but be careful and study for yourself. And if you have questions, then you ask whoever your leaders or you ask anybody you ask for them to give you an answer. But don't let them lead you to the point where you can live any kind of way and you're going to go to heaven. That's not going to work.
Well, no, the gate is narrow. The Bible, because we barely going to make it in. So best believe you need to be doing all you can to live your life committed to Christ, be in a personal relationship with Christ. The more you study, the more you get into your word, the more the Lord will let you know what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And you ain't got to ask people. You will know. The Lord will let you know. You ain't got to guess. And you ain't got to be enticed by your eyes.
Right. You can't be enticed. I'm going to go ahead because my wife be trying to entice me sometimes.
Anyway.
She be trying to entice me.
Anyway,
it's like
y'all
what you said. You ain't gonna wait for me. You ain't gonna wait for me to go to Sam's Club.
Trace for this man.
Entice me to wait.
Get together.
I thought something was gonna happen for me to wait, but I had to wait for her to get off work. Then we went to Sam's Club, and then I got back here. I thought something else was gonna happen. I was enticed.
You got your card. You got your card. So we good.
Yeah, I did.
We good.
Yeah. Thought I was getting something else, but hey, maybe another day, another time. Be patient is the key.
I pray y'all.
So men, be patient. Be patient. Again, I hope you all enjoyed. Hopefully, we got you talking. We got you communicating. And like I said, we're just trying to help people. When you go to church, go, and regardless of what's going on in the church, around the church, you just go for your personal relationship with the Lord and get your praise on. And don't let people determine how you praise the Lord. Praise Him how you want to praise Him. And
don't let
keep that mindset. Right. Don't let other distractions, this, that, or the other. Because if you do, you'll end up getting lost. It's very easy to get lost in the distractions of what's going on in the church, around the church, above the church, and then it's easy to do. So don't be one of them superstars where if your name ain't in the lights, you don't have to be there. Because that's wrong. And with that being said, join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We have a Praise Tabernacle Bible study at 7 p.m. And I ask you, if you don't have a Bible, I always say this, just give us 4 weeks of your time for an hour and tell me that your life has not been changed by listening to the word that's being taught. It ain't being preached, it's being taught. And it's being taught, and listen to it. And I just ask that you come back tomorrow night at 7 p.m., same phone number, same website, and listen to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Also, Thursday night, I'm not sure, but I believe we have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Also on Facebook Live at 7 p.m. as well. Sunday morning, 9 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Church. Sunday morning praise and worship service, and to hear the word of God on Sunday morning at 9 p.m. Same website, same phone number, and it's also on Facebook Live. And then the DNK Bible Break every Monday, 7 p.m. We will be back next Monday with another show. I'm going to be talking about where the real men at next Sunday. I'm talking about real men, the godly men. Where you at? I'm calling you out on Sunday. And for you women that's sticking up for these boys that want to be men, I'm going to have to holler at you too. So we will be dealing with that on next Monday at 7 p.m. Where the real men at? And women, stop letting your babies be boys. With that being said, also on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., we have Vent Break Inspirational at 8 a.m., if you want to get an encouraging word every morning, it's just inspirational. It's going to get you set for the rest of the week on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday night, we have Elder George Bazaar, End Time Teaching, Watchmen on the Wall at 9 p.m. on Wednesday night.
also on Friday at 7 p.m. to 7:45, we have Pastor Sam. He will be on ministering the Word of God every Friday night. He'll be back this Friday night, and I do owe him an apology because I certainly forget to hit the start button on last Friday. That was my fault. I do apologize. I told him in church yesterday, my bad. But he'll be back Friday, and then Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time, we have the overseer Timothy Jackson, Spiritual Sense of Life. He'll be on Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time. With that being said, y'all continue to pray for us. And wife, you want to give the email address real quick? Because I know you got to go.
Yes. If you have any prayer requests, you can send those, or praise reports, you can send those to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. And send those prayer requests and those praise reports to us. We'll be happy to have those on hand for you.
All right. If that's being said, we're going to get out of here early tonight. And I'm going to pray us out, and we'll see y'all back hopefully tomorrow night at Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. Father God, we just want to thank you. We ask that we just give you all the praise and the glory tonight, Father God. We just ask that you continue to bless us and guide us, Father God. Father God, we ask you to tell everyone that listened to us, Father God, that they was able to learn something, have insight on something, Father God. And Father God, we just ask you to bless all the listeners from all over the world, Father God, that's listening to us right now. And Father God, we ask these things right now, Father God. Father God, we ask you to be with our bishop and the first lady right now, Father God. Be with all the elders and the deacons and the evangelists right now, Father God. Father God, I ask you to touch each and every one of them right now, Father God. Make us stronger, Father God, and Father God, as we increase, so you can increase. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good night.